Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support.
Hi everyone, it's Jo. We thought it would be a nice idea to do a series of boos on guide dogs. And this will encompass some interviews that Michael and I do with a puppy walker, a GDMI, which is a guide dog mobility instructor. They are the person that matches the dog with the person and does their training. And anyone else that we can get our hands on, really. but this has come about because I'm on the guide dog journey at the moment. I have previously had two guide dogs, and my second one, Bonnie, is still living with me now as a retired guide dog. And I thought I would do like a diary of boos for VI Talk to describe the journey. So I'll go back to the beginning a little bit, but I will do matching and then through to qualification and the training in between, and probably beyond, about what it's like in the beginning stages with a new dog and everything. Now, I know it's for a lot of people, it's a big question: is a guide dog right for me? Some people prefer a long cane because at the end of the day you can put it away and you don't have to think about it and there's none of the care involved. For other people, a guide dog is the only option. And, you know, there are other things. People use echolocation very well. But for me, a guide dog is the thing. I've had gaps between mine. But I qualified with my first dog at 19. And then I had a gap after she retired before I got Bonnie. And I got Bonnie in about 2006, I think it was. Now, I took the decision to retire Bonnie early. It was a joint decision between myself and guide dogs because she wasn't coping with the changes that came about through us moving from the north of England, from a very quiet village down to Tynmouth, which, although it's not huge, is a fairly busy seaside town. And all the challenges that that entails, Bonnie got quite stressed about it. So we took the decision to retire her. Now, I could have carried on working Bonnie and got what I could out of her and gone on the waiting list for a new guide dog. However, the fact that I retired her completely and guide dogs took away the harness and handle meant that I went to the top of the list as a priority one with other priority ones, which means people who have no working guide dog. Now, obviously, people who live on their own are top of that list, if you get what I mean. But I was lucky. I have had Rob and Jodie to around. For those who don't know that Rob is my husband, Jodie is our daughter, and they are both fully sighted. So when Bonnie retired, I had to fill out with the GDMI, who was helping me at the time, an assessment, so a reapplication basically for a dog. Now, you can have a say as to what breed you would like, but it is better if you can be quite open about that and not be too specific. Although some people are, but I just said that I would take any breed except for a Labradoodle. Now, I know some people probably love Labradoodles and I'm sure they're very sweet, but for me, that was the one breed that I just didn't think that I would get along with very well from what I've seen of them. You are asked questions, you fill in a health questionnaire about if you have any health problems other than your sight, obviously, anything that might impact on your training, i.e. how far can you walk comfortably and things like that. If you are applying for your first guide dog, in my day, you had to go and see a GP and have a full medical. Now, I'm assuming that's the same, but obviously I'm on my third, so that wasn't the case. So all of that had to be filled in, and it's probably quite similar whether it's your first, second, third or fourth or whatever, you know, the application and everything. So that goes off to guide dogs. Every 3 months I have been having a courtesy phone call from the GDMI who covers my area to say, yes, we are still looking for a dog for you. Are you still needing a dog? Has your situation changed? Is there anything you want to add to your application? So you can kind of say, well, actually, you know, the places that I travel to have changed. I'm needing to use trains a lot more. Can you add that on? Now, most guide dogs are used to using public transport of one sort or another, but if it's down on your list, they will then make sure that that dog can cope with that. So that was that. So I've been waiting for nearly, probably around 16 months, and it's been okay, because as I say, I've had Rob and Jody, but there have been moments where I've thought, oh, you know, places you want to go, and you're thinking, you don't want to keep saying to Rob, well, can you come here with me? Can you come there with me? You know, and can you come and get me from here? And I'm not a long cane, well, I am a long cane user, but I choose not to use it. You know, it's just not for me. And I know some people love it, but it just is not. I'm just not confident with it. So for me, a guide dog is it. So last Friday, which was the 30th of January, I got a phone call from the GDMI. And I just thought, oh, this is just going to be another 3-month courtesy call. And she said, I think I've got a dog for you, a potential match. And I was sort of like excited, but a little bit, you know, there's that little bit of trepidation, because you're thinking, oh, well, what if it's not a match? You know, what if it doesn't work out? So I put a post on Facebook to say that there was a potential match, but I didn't tell anyone other than Rob and Jody, obviously, and my closest friends, the name of the dog and what breed he was. And she said, I can come on Monday. She told me a little bit about him, and she said, I can come on Monday morning at 9:30. If that's not convenient, then it'll be Thursday. So I said, no, Monday is absolutely fine. That's brilliant. So she came this morning. She left the dog in the car, and she came in and had a chat with both myself and Rob, because as she said, the dog has got to fit into your family and into your life. And so it's not just a case of matching them with you. It's, you know, if you've got children, a partner, they, you know, I've got obviously Bonnie here, and we've got two cats. They've got to fit in with all of that. And if that doesn't work and that's not suitable, then it's not the right match. So she told me about him. I'm keeping you in suspense here. And then we went and she got him out of the back of the car and put the harness on him. And we went for a walk, a working walk. Now, I had his harness and lead, but she had a second lead attached to him so that she could help or give a little bit of extra confidence to him, because obviously he'd never worked with me before, and she had some extra control if things go a bit wrong or anything like that. So we did a walk from our house, and we went down practically into town. We did a busy road, we did a crossing as well, with a Pelican crossing, a bleepy one, an audio one should I say, and I was really impressed. He was very responsive. If I asked him to steady down, he did. When we approached the crossing, I asked him to find the post, and he did straight away. And coming back, he did the same. He was a lovely little worker. He was quite quick, but not too quick. They call it moderate, which is great. And we got home, and then we brought him into the house, and he met Rob and Bonnie, and he went out into the back garden with Bonnie, and we sat and chatted a bit more, and he had a bit of fuss. And she said, what do you think? And I said, yeah, I really like him. And she said, you know, you would be honest with me, wouldn't you? And I said, yeah. And I said what I liked about him, and we got to take some pictures of him, and he is on my Facebook page, if anyone is my friend on Facebook or wants to have a look at him. And he is a golden retriever. He's medium size, quite light coloured, apparently, with a really black nose and dark eyes. Apparently he looks a bit like a polar bear, but he's not white. And he is called Bruno. And he's 18 months old. He'll be 19 months old on the 8th of February, so next Monday. And he is a real sweetie pie. He is lovely. He's not really big or anything. He's a medium-sized male dog, so he's not huge, which is great, because I'm not very tall, or, you know, I'm not a big person really. So, but what happened then was the GDMI said, we have to give you a 24-hour cooling off period. She said, so ring me tomorrow and let me know if it's definite, if you want him. And I said, well, I do. But she said, no, we now give you the 24-hour cooling off period. She said, so, because she said some people do change their mind overnight. So they do that. So she took him away. And she said that if I do decide that he's the one, well, I have. So I'll be ringing her tomorrow, which is the 3rd of Feb, because I'm doing this quite late on the 2nd. So I'll be ringing her on the 3rd of February to say yes. And I will either start training on the 23rd of February or the 2nd of March. They're both Mondays. And what will happen, you can train at home. You can do domiciliary, which means that you're kind of on your own all the time with the guide dog instructor. And you just do routes from your house each day. And you do all the other things as well, you know, the grooming and everything. But I've never done domiciliary. You don't do centre training anymore in England. Well, in the UK, they changed that to hotels. Now, I've done that with Bonnie. But what's happening with Bruno and myself is that the Vision Hotel that's in Tynmouth, the Clifton, there's going to be a class, which means a group of people training with guide dogs, staying at the hotel. So each day when the GDMI travels in to Tynmouth, she'll pick me up on her way to the hotel and I will go and join the class. So I will join in with the walks and the work that they do. But what she said today was that when they're, say, doing maybe their grooming, she will put, we will get in her car and come back to my house, and then we will do routes that I need from my house. So say into Tynmouth or anywhere else that I may need to go. So I will do sort of the routes that are ones that are used a lot, sort of like you do block routes to get your confidence with the dog, and they'll have like leg stretches in them where you can really kind of get your pace up and get a feel for the, you know, for the dog and get your confidence going. But I'll also get to do my home area as well, which will be great. So that's the first instalment, really. That is the matching visit. And I won't be doing another one for a few weeks until I start training. But I will do that. I will update you possibly on a daily basis, but they will be brief booths. This has been a little bit more lengthy. But I'll update you on how I'm doing, what kind of things I'm doing. Just to give you an idea, if you're thinking about getting a guide dog, you're not quite sure, you don't know what it entails, you don't know how stressful it's going to be, you don't know whether you'd cope with maybe being away from home, if you have to stay in a hotel, or would you be better doing domiciliary, then hopefully I can give you a taste of, you know, what it's like. And I know I'm a third time guide dog owner, but hopefully I can give you a flavour. And if anyone wants to chip in on this conversation, you know, about your experience and talk about it, if anybody from anywhere else, if there's anybody from, I know, Ireland, Southern Ireland, they do it slightly differently. I think they still go to centres there. If you're in another country, you know, maybe the US, maybe you want to talk about what it's like over there. Do you do domiciliary? Do you still have centres? Where you go and stay as a residential, or do you do hotels? You know, if anybody wants to chip in on this, then feel free. But I will hopefully, well, we will definitely, Michael and I will definitely do an interview with a puppy walker and a GDMI, and maybe other people that have jobs within guide dogs, and we'll make it into a full series. Anyway, I hope this hasn't been too much of a ramble, and I hope you've enjoyed it hearing about Bruno. And in one of my future boos, I will post a picture of him as the boo art, but I'll do that once we've commenced our training and everything. All right, I will speak to you all soon, and thanks for listening. And also, just before I go, thank you so much to everybody who's wished me good luck with my matching visit. It's been sweet. I've had so many likes and comments on Facebook. It's been absolutely lovely. Lots of fingers and paws crossed that it went well today. So if positive thoughts and energy count for anything, then thank you, because it was a great matching visit, and I'm chuffed a bit. So cheers everybody for that, and for your good wishes, and I'll speak to you all soon. Bye.
You can contact us by emailing podcast@vitalk.co.uk, on Facebook by searching for VI Talk, on Twitter @VITalkPodcast, and our website address is www.vitalk.co.uk.